Your story is waiting for you today. Your story has something new to say. But your story will only come out to play when you're alone. Alone. Alone in a room with invisible people.
The following episode may contain swearing. Alone in a Room with Invisible People is brought to you by hollyswritingclasses.com. Just a brief note before the episode begins. While my energy might seem low and I might not seem excited to be there, I was very, very happy and very, very excited by the whole process. I felt that it's important to note because it is so important that our voices come across with the excitement that we have, and usually that's not a problem. However, I am on medication for infertility, something that I share openly pretty much across the board. And the medication has had one of the side effects, which left me with a little bit of insomnia last night. So I was very tired. It also had other side effects, like hot flashes and other things, and headaches while we were doing the show. So while it might not sound like I was 100% there, I really and truly was. And I was very, very excited by everything that I got. Thank you very much. Enjoy the episode. Hi, my name is Rebecca Gallardo, and I'm the host of Alone in a Room with Invisible People. I'm here with author and teacher Holly Lyle, and today is our second week in a row doing a kind of live brainstorm.
What we did last week was we came up with some spontaneous idea generation. This is episode 4, and you can download the worksheets that Becca and I used to come up with just basic pieces for ideas. This week, what we are going to be doing, after we told you, tell you what we have been working on personally, I'm going to do a consult with Becky and help her come up with a story idea that she really wants to write and is excited about.
Well, I'm actually ready to get into it because all this week as I've been running errands, or it's funny how your brain works. If you're thinking about something, you know, like work or you're really involved with something, then, you know, you're focused, and then you start to go do the dishes or you run errands or you're driving somewhere. And then all these ideas start creeping into your head because you're letting things go. Or sometimes even, you know, they're intrusive and they say, I don't care what the hell you're doing. You're going to pay attention to me now, which I get those, but it's just that usually when that stuff comes in, that's Glass House or that's the Wanda Lucia stuff. And this week it's just been this story just popping up into my head. So I'm absolutely ready to go for this.
Cool.
So I guess as far as what we've been doing all week, that's pretty much it. I've had some art projects, but writing wise, I'm trying to take a full week to adjust fully with the side effects from the infertility medication, the Clomid, which is, you know, making me a little bit weird and off, get some work done, you know, do personal things,
yeah,
and get back to my stuff. So what have you been doing?
This week, fiction-wise, has been like dragging yourself by your lips across a field of broken glass. It has not been fun. I discovered in The Owner's Tale that I had, I guess misremembered would be the kind way to put that, the backstory for the owner. And I knew the early backstory. Well, I was able to make up the early backstory from pretty much whole cloth. But then when it started tying into Cadence Drake, I thought that I remembered how something had gone down and went back after writing a bunch of words. Went back in and ran through Hunting the Corrigan's Blood to find it, just to verify, and I was all wrong. I was just all wrong.
You verified.
Oh yeah, well, absolutely, because otherwise it would have been a train wreck. So I ended up deleting a couple thousand words, and then I ended up completely rewriting a couple thousand words, and ended up with a net gain of about 100 words after Ooh. Hours and hours of, yeah, it was not a good writing week. Well, I mean, it was in that I really like what I got. And I really like how the villain of the thing comes back and ties into this and how you get to see him a little bit more clearly from a different perspective, from a different set of eyes. But it was a really, really tough writing week. On classes, I'm working on the final lesson of how to write short stories, which is learning how to write genre and how to define your genre, how to figure out what genre is within the context of what you want to write and how to make it work. And that's pretty much been it for me. It has been a grueling week. So, if you want to get started with the consult, the process of consulting on writing is the writer and the other writer are basically bouncing ideas back and forth. The job of the consulting writer is to be sort of like the wall in a handball court, where the person who is coming up with the ideas bounces stuff off the wall and the wall bounces it back. So I'm the wall and you're the player.
Okay.
Okay. And the first thing that we need to start with everything you came up with last week, you came up with some fascinating, really strange, weird pieces that were meaningful and that were strangely connected, but that were still kind of floating around. They were not attached to a story or a concept or a genre. So
I can even say that when I went back through, there were things connected that I didn't even know that they were connected. So
I had,
was crazy. It's like we were catching some of our connections, but I had like a couple in here that just, they were like men and secrets, apparently, that I don't know. It's so cool how your muse pulls things from like inside of your brain and that you've written down and starts building on things and you're not even aware of what you're building on.
The first thing I would like to do is ask you, what genre interests you? What genre do you want to write the story in? Because the questions that I ask you after that are going to be a little bit dependent on who you want to be reading it.
Yeah. I'm going to have to say paranormal. Because there's probably fantasy aspects of it too, because there's magic and stuff, but there's just this spooky feeling I have with me because of the graveyard dirt, because of the dead grandparents. It's got to be a paranormal with some fantasy aspects.
Okay. Are you at this point looking at doing this as a short story? I know that you're working through the short story class right now, but I know that your last thing that you did was a novel. So
yeah, I'm looking at making this a short story. I want it to be, I've already decided it's got to be in like my Fulton Hills series.
Nice.
Just because of how weird this is coming, you know, out from my head. So I sound all choppy, but that's another thing too, is when I apologize for how stilted our conversation might sound, but again, this is brainstorming, so you kind of have to process a lot of stuff.
Yes, the questions are difficult to answer, and you have to kind of pause while you're thinking through them, because stuff doesn't come out automatically.
No, definitely want to keep it under probably about 10,000 words.
Okay, so 10,000 word stories. So basically, in a 10,000 word story, you have enough room for maybe three main characters and one main plot and maybe one subplot. It's going to need to be fairly tight. So you have mentioned the thing that caught my eye was the connection between love and graveyard dirt. And that just stuck in my head. That stuck in my head last week. It was the first thing that caught my mind when I came back into this today to get ready and to prep over my notes and stuff, was, okay, there is, the graveyard dirt showed up in love, and that has to be meaningful. So how can you go about making, go
the
ahead.
Grass mound, the burial mound was love.
Mm-hmm. Right, graveyard, and then you spun stuff off of that.
Graveyard dirt was hate. Unless you're thinking, hold on, let me check my... Oh, okay, I see what you mean. On the on the love page.
On the love page, right, exactly.
Well, when I did the conflict generator worksheet too, grass mound burial was love.
Mm-hmm.
And then graveyard dirt, the obstacle was hate.
Right.
So how... That's, it's just weird.
Well, yeah, it is. But the fact that there is graveyard dirt, it makes me think that this could be some huge tie-in to maybe a love subplot. Is this? And I know Fulton Hills has a romantic basis. The whole Fulton Hills universe is built around paranormal, but it also, the characters, there is some romance in it. I know it's not pure romance.
Right. It's more paranormal, but most of them, I did originally want to have some romances in them.
Mm-hmm.
The Glass Hills or the Glass House books are very, it's kind of like the long game romance. But yeah, there is romance in them, and I'm thinking, and I guess that's just because of me, because I'm a hopeless romantic, and and I'm a sucker for love stories, good ones. There is one here. The grandfather was absolutely in love with the grandmother. She died before the main character was born. The main character knew, it was like 26, I think. I think that's what her age was written down. And the entire time she's been alive, her grandfather has been single and hasn't dated, none of that. And when he dies, he's not buried in the one place, what makes sense, the one place he wanted to be buried. He absolutely refused it. He put it in his will. He said, "Do not bury me with her." And the reason is because of graveyard dirt. And I don't know how that ties in. I don't know what the reasoning is. But I'm thinking that the ending should definitely be the main character having her grandfather moved into that, and this is the same burial plot as her grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't know.
Well, several horror ideas just popped into my mind, but that's where my mind tends to go anyway.
Well, plus this is about how to pull this stuff out of somebody else, not your own expectation.
The job of the wall is to bounce stuff back. So I can throw out things that appear in my mind. Things like, well, you know, that sounds like a horror element to me. Then your job is either to say, okay, well, that kind of fits, or no, it isn't horror because of this.
Yeah.
So,
well, there's this fine line, and you're really good at it, because with the octopus map, you helped so much with Glass House, and it just, it changed the entire, it didn't change it, it opened the entire series to me, and it gave me plots for every single one of the books, which was amazing. But after dealing with a specific critic last time of the Bug Hunters, which we will definitely have to do a topic on criticism versus critiquing.
Right.
But after dealing with that, I realized that some people maybe don't realize they're doing it, but they're trying to push their own stories on to another person, which you don't do.
Yeah. Yeah, that oh my God, that's so important. Is if you are working with another writer and you guys are bouncing ideas back and forth and you are being the wall, you don't get to say, well, I would do this, or you should do this. The words I would and you should need to die in your vocabulary. They need to just be gone. Because the objective in helping somebody else come up with a story idea is to help them, to help them find their perfect idea for them. And it has absolutely nothing to do with you. So when I am saying, wow, okay, that sounds like this to me, then Becca's job is to go, okay, well, you know, that's, I can see where it would go that way, but because this is the kind of story I write, or because this is the kind of story I want to write, it needs to go towards romance, or it needs to go towards paranormal, or it needs to go towards this humor or something that fits within the genre as she sees it and not as I see it.
But also as the writer in this, or as the player against the wall, you need to have an open-mindedness, because if your wall is throwing something back at you and saying, well, this seems like it would matter, or this is a really strong element that struck me, maybe you need to pay attention. Maybe don't pigeonhole yourself into something because it's more familiar or something. Just be willing to look at the things. And if you guys have any interest in this, we can maybe do a worksheet or something, just describing the rules for the wall and for the player.
Yes.
Just a page or two, just to let you guys know, because this is a really, really amazing thing that we'll get into pretty much right now. But I felt like it was very important, especially after dealing with that one specific bug hunter that didn't do a bug hunt, that I needed to make sure that you guys know, don't push your ideas on your player if you're the wall.
Right.
But you'll see how Holly does stuff.
Okay, so let's get back to that. I bounced horror at you. So now.
Yeah, and I like that. I like that because it feels, because of the graveyard dirt and the mound and the fact that he died. I think that there are certain small horror elements, which isn't bad, but I want to focus more on the paranormal with maybe a few chills instead of, you know, outright scares.
Okay, so then let's look at the mound. Okay, and kind of what kind of things could be in, on, around, under, or related to the mound?
Well, we know that she's in there.
Right.
And there's a lot about magic talismans in here.
Mm.
And I'm thinking that she was buried. Like there's things like rain in jars. But I like the idea of her being buried with some magic talismans, that maybe when they buried her initially, they took some of her magic stuff that she had in her will, or that her husband knew needed to go with her, and buried her with all of these things. But maybe he accidentally grabbed something that was put there by maybe her murderer, and they didn't know she was murdered. Yeah, I didn't know she was murdered until just right then.
Wow. But okay.
She might have been murdered, or maybe somebody is trying to, I don't know. There has to be a reason for somebody to have put, maybe there's a jar of someone else's graveyard dirt buried with her.
Okay.
But then you'd wonder whose grave.
Well, yeah. Or, okay, something that occurs to me, if you have your talismans in there with her, you have her in there, and one of the things that I vaguely remember from walking through Fulton Hills with you before is that there's a sort of contamination in the area, that the area is magically contaminated.
Yeah, and it's bleeding off into Standing River and
right. But that particular area is a high magic area. So maybe it is because the mound is has these things in it that there is a special contamination, something growing in there or something, you know, not like a monster or something, but some...
No.
Some...
But yeah.
Force or power that... I don't know. Is she was the sensitive one? Does he know anything about this, the grandfather?
Yeah, he's... I mean, especially considering the fact that I'm placing them in Fulton Hills. He's a Fulton Hills old-timer, which means that... I would say probably both of them are, which means, you know, they can trace their lineage back, you know, many years in Fulton Hills. And actually what you were saying, I kind of like the idea that maybe because Fulton Hills also has Native Americans that have kept a certain amount of their land and they have their own area and I've got names for them and everything. And I kind of like the idea of something involving them when you and the magic runoff. It's just very confusing in my head. But what kind of conflicts can I pull out if there's this magical? Maybe all of the talismans and stuff were supposed to protect her gravesite. So maybe these are regular Fulton Hills talismans that magic people use.
Okay.
But somebody screwed it up on purpose.
Oh, okay. Okay, that is a good concept. And then that generates the question, why? To what end?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let me write this down.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm thinking, so we know somebody added graveyard dirt in. I'm thinking, because we were wondering, like, who's graveyard dirt? I'm thinking it should be a Native American, maybe... Someone from, and I call them the NoHo. Their name is actually really a lot longer, but that's what the Fulton Hills call the Native Americans in the area is NoHo. So, okay. And that name could change. I don't know.
Sure.
But yeah, so I'm thinking somebody added graveyard dirt from a NoHo's grave or from the NoHo community burial area.
Okay. All right. So, the other question is, if you are putting talismans in a grave with a body who's already dead, and you are doing it to protect a dead body, what are you protecting the dead body from?
Yeah. Well, because there's this magic runoff, I think that it's not every single person is buried with the same talismans. There is this history in Fulton Hills where a lot of cultures have their own like weird little things that they do, and Fulton Hills, I've been working hard recently, well, you know, ever since I was 19, I guess, just building little things here and there with Fulton Hills. And one of the things that they have, they have their own culture, and I'm thinking that everybody should be buried with something. Like, it's just a Fulton Hills tradition that when somebody is buried, they're buried with such and such, and it could just be a crystal, it could just be quartz, it could just be something, but I need to look into what exactly, because different crystals have different properties, different herbs have different properties, so I need to find out what the Fulton Hills standard is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing this down.
Okay.
And of course my brain would have brought me back to writing Fulton Hills somehow. Can't write glass house, but I still got to get in there somehow. So then the Fulton Hills standard is kind of like every other culture that has little tiny things that they came from bigger things.
Right.
So like it's kind of like this pair of jeans that had been washed out. It's just what's left after years and years and years. So the original would be probably these magic people who maybe got it from the NoHo originally, or, you know, who knows. But so we'd be protecting the bodies, I think, from being used. Because the very first story I came up with when I was 19 was the idea that this man who had lost his wife in a house fire moved to Fulton Hills. And he was lost, and there's this weird kid running around taking pictures, and she's maybe 16, 17. And they kind of have a bond, and he, I think, ends up hiring her to do work at his business, but there's a cult, and the cult is using dead bodies for something. So I'm thinking about going back and maybe utilizing that idea. This is the same cult that is mentioned, by the way, in the Glass House books.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, so I think maybe it's supposed to protect them from necromancy.
Okay, that's that works. And that definitely has that little horror element again.
Yeah, and at the same time, the regular people in Fulton Hills don't know why they do the things that they do. They just know, you know, a lot of the old timers might, there are certain things, there's this that you just can't ignore, like all the dead bodies or all the people dying piling up. But the majority of the people in Fulton Hills just turn a blind eye to it.
Wow. Yeah, that's, I like that. I like that. I think that is a neat little twist in the world building, is that the vast majority of everyone ignores the monster right under their nose.
I like the idea of this just with the burial thing. People do things in Fulton Hills and they don't always know why. It's just, that's the culture. That's the standard. That's what we're supposed to do. But okay, so we know protected from necromancy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's not even part of the story. Maybe that's just the standard for magic people.
Right.
Maybe that, she was.
Okay, so then he doesn't want to be buried with her. So there has to be a good reason for that too. And if he ends up, against his wishes, being buried with her, there should be a consequence.
Okay, so he's not going to be buried with her.
Okay.
It's going to start off maybe even, I didn't even think about this, but at his funeral. And the main character is very upset because she knows that he wanted to be buried with her, but he absolutely refused to be buried with her.
Okay.
And she can't find out why. There's got to be reasoning in there, like you're saying.
Okay. The wall just thought of something.
Okay.
All right. What secret does he have? What is he hiding? What has he managed to hide from everyone for his entire life? This truth about him that makes him need to not be buried with her.
There was something in here. See, and it's asking about the dark secret about her grandmother.
Mm-hmm. But you mentioned something about men and secrets.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that,
which is something that stayed with me. Plus he was murdered.
He was murdered too?
Yeah, he was murdered. Was killed on a fresh blacktop in summer. The only evidence of murder were scratches, and she dreams of him talking in scratches and clicks.
Right, I remember that from last week.
We know that there's a dark secret about her grandmother, but there's one about him too that she doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's pictures of her grandfather on the ocean.
Okay.
Which I like. But mm-hmm. This is weird because there's no ocean in Fulton Hills.
Right, Fulton Hills is like in the Midwest, right?
Yeah, well, it's very, very landlocked. There's a big, big lake, but yeah, definitely no ocean. You can cut out certain things that you started before, right?
Oh yeah, you don't have to use everything. Right. This is you throw a lot of stuff against the wall. It's the pasta test. Only some of it sticks. So
I like the idea that she has to lose, like, loss of control is one of her fears, but she must lose control in order to uncover the hidden secret, which is weird, see hidden motives and what is suffocating her. And then also that she has to give up her blood and it says, and ties to magic. So she's going to have to give these people up to move on. Maybe what she wants, she learns she doesn't want. Because I'm focusing heavily on the grandparents, but I need to know her motivations first before I can figure anything else out.
Right.
Originally, she wanted finer things to be on the road. So she wants a lifestyle where she can travel, find a home, move there. But the thing with Fulton Hills is basically that's the trope is that, or that's the thing, you don't leave Fulton Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Fulton Hills doesn't let you leave. If you leave, you come back.
Okay.
So she's one of those people that wants to leave. Maybe, but it
owns her in some way. Okay. Yeah.
There are some people that come and go, but those are people that are not blood. Mm-hmm. That Fulton Hills keeps its own. And she is the granddaughter of an old timer.
That is creepy as hell.
Yeah.
That really is. That is just creepy, man.
That's one of those things that started in my, when I was like 23 or something, when I started coming up with this one really crazy idea. But I like the fact she's the granddaughter of somebody who was already a great, great, great grandson of somebody who has been there the entire time. Fulton Hills won't let her leave. So we already know the ending as far as her not getting what she wants.
Right, right. She is not going anywhere.
So, and I guess the real mystery, like I can build that up, is that she wants to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have to find a way for Fulton Hills to kind of trap her there, keep her there.
All right. So between the grandfather's death, the story starts with his funeral. He is not going to be buried with the grandmother.
And she's upset because she knows something is wrong.
Right. And he was her tie to staying in the town then.
Yeah.
He was the reason she was staying. And with him dead, she thinks she has no more ties than she can go.
Yep.
So then if Fulton Hills keeps its own, something with the grandparents' death, for this story to be all tied together and to be cohesive, something about his death needs to be the same something that then keeps her there in spite of herself.
The magic. I'm thinking what happens is she doesn't know, because her grandfather tried to keep her away from this because it ended up killing her grandmother. So she doesn't know her grandfather and grandmother had any magic abilities.
Mm-hmm.
She is one of those people in Fulton Hills that kind of knows Fulton Hills is a weird place, but doesn't know the depth of it.
Right.
The grandfather, and again, she's, the grandmother has been dead. Maybe the grandmother died when she was born.
Okay.
Which I like that. Maybe the grandfather has kept her out of all of this magic stuff. So when he dies and she's upset because he's not being buried with her, he bought his plot with her. Originally they were supposed to be together. She doesn't understand what's going on. He's been single. He's never even dated in 26 years. So she goes to sleep and she has these weird dreams. And that's when he's trying to talk to her, but can't because of the scratches, you know, just talking in scratches and clicks.
Yeah, that's creepy too.
Oh
my God.
What?
Oh, you said he's tied to the ocean.
Yeah.
Okay. Dolphins communicate in clicks and squeaks. And
oh, that's very weird. So I can have him talking in dolphin speak.
Yeah, but not only that, really, if he has a secret that's tied to the ocean, is he entirely human?
Yeah, I don't like ones where they're not.
Okay. All right.
Human or mud. Or just when it comes to Fulton Hills, it's outside.
Okay. I'm not familiar with, completely familiar with your world building there, so I wasn't sure if that was, okay.
Okay. Well, I bet you a lot of your, a lot of your readers and listeners would have been like, hell no, he's not entirely human. Go, go. But yeah, I'm not that big into fantasy with the melding of the peoples.
Okay. Then what is his tie to the ocean?
Yeah. It was always this picture of him, but it's just her grandfather on the ocean. I don't know. So if somebody gets stuck on something like this, like mm-hmm. I've got grandfather, just him, when he was younger, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe the grandmother's a mermaid.
Maybe.
Grandfather. No. No grandmother in pictures. So I'm stuck on this then.
Okay.
Because it seemed important to put it in here. Okay, let me look into my reasons why I liked water, why I put water down.
Uh-huh.
Because actually the ocean is something that I both love and fear.
Right.
I'm very, very passionate about it in both areas. I've got it in love. Well, it's nothing but positive in this one.
Okay, well then let's look at the granddaughter. And look at the granddaughter's tie to the grandfather, to his secrets, to maybe her own something inexplicable in her life, something that is tied to him that she doesn't understand and can't explain. Maybe a shared passion for someplace she's never been. If he loved the ocean, and she has never been to the ocean and wants to leave Fulton Hills and go.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Because she bonded so hugely with her grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the pictures of him on the ocean would be symbolic for her.
Yeah.
As to getting out of Fulton Hills, traveling.
Yes, this vast expanse of open freedom space just that goes on forever.
Yeah, and Fulton Hills is very green, very lush, very... Maybe that's her driving force. That's her motivation. And I'm thinking that the secret that he's kept is... Because in my head, he's this really heartbroken, good guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's... not got a dark secret, but the grandmother did or does.
Okay.
His secret would be more or less just keeping, I don't know why the name Haley keeps popping up, so I guess her name is just going to be Haley now.
Okay.
Just keeping Haley out of the bad past, because he knows specifically that she's not going to be able to get out. That the idea of her being able to leave is so minute that he's trying to give her every chance he can, not letting her use. Maybe she has this same bloodline as you know, her grandmother. Maybe she has these certain powers.
Okay.
And he's always tried to keep her from using them.
Okay. So he has been trying to keep her ignorant of...
Yeah.
To protect her. But with ignoring the fact that if she has this bloodline, she's not going to be able to leave.
Oh my God, I just had the coolest idea.
Okay, awesome.
This is so weird. This is going to be the origin story for one of the antagonists and or villains for the Glass House series.
Oh, cool.
She is going to be evil.
Haley?
Yeah. Yeah, Haley is going to be evil. The grandmother was evil. The grandfather is evil, but they don't believe they're evil.
Oh. Oh, he wow.
So he was trying, but why would he be trying? Because she wanted the ocean ever since she was little. So he was trying to keep her from leaving Fulton Hills, trying to keep her you know, or not from leaving, trying to keep her from staying in Fulton Hills, trying to keep her from being something that Fulton Hills would want. So maybe he's even put like little spells on her, little things to protect her, little things here and there. And whatever got him, maybe they found out that she was something Fulton Hills wanted. So they killed him in order to get to her.
Get control of her.
Because maybe they didn't know his granddaughter was what he was hiding, but they knew he was hiding something.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. That pulls things together very nicely.
I really, really like that twist that I just don't want anybody to read it, pick up their villains. So it's going to have to be written very, very as you would write anything else, as they were the heroes.
Right. Well, you put it from their point of view and only demonstrate through tiny little actions.
Yeah.
That
something is wrong.
Right. Where they are using force, where instead of volition, where they are getting people's consent, they are doing things without people's consent. That's, you know, that is a mark of villainy.
Yeah.
So, but it can be small and subtle.
Yeah. Yeah, small and subtle, I like. And then at the very end, what turns her finally into what will end up being a villain is the fact that she's trapped. The fact that Fulton Hills takes full hold of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she cannot leave.
Okay, and there is one other thing that you said that I think might tie into this.
Yeah.
Is that the grandfather wanted to be buried with the grandmother, but wasn't going to be.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't get buried with her now.
Well, maybe if he had not been buried with her, Haley would not have been discovered for what she was. But because she decided to ignore his wishes and have him buried with her, that's the connection of the powers that outs her.
Oh, so you're saying that she should mess up. And that she should bury him.
Mm-hmm.
I like that because that's more what she would do, especially considering she's been kept ignorant of Fulton Hills her whole life. If he mm-hmm. hadn't kept her ignorant of Fulton Hills her whole life, she would have never buried him with his
right.
wife.
Right.
Okay, so I like that.
But the putting of those two powers together.
That there's something
in the graveyard dirt.
Yeah. Something messes something else up.
Yeah.
I think that this should be the subplot too. I'm not sure. Because you said there's a main plot, there's a subplot.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they killed the grandfather trying to get to whatever his secret was. Maybe he kept it safe. He kept it secret. Maybe even after he died, they couldn't find what he was hiding.
Right.
Until she buried him with her grandmother and didn't follow the rites and the traditions and stuff in his, you know, because, oh, he's just a silly old man and, you mm-hmm. know, I love my grandfather, but he was quirky. And
oh, then, quirky.
Yeah. And then bam.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have to figure out what kind of problems this creates too. Changing page here. So far I've got that grandfather is killed in a very strange manner. You know, on the fresh blacktop in summer. Can't tell that he was dead, that he was killed by anything except for some scratches. And they're very deep and odd scratches. That's why they're standing out. But they know he was murdered. So she buries him and she does not follow his wishes and buries him with her grandmother because, you know, so in love and blah, 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 and grand, you know, blah, blah, blah. So then something isn't right. She doesn't feel right. There's something when he's buried with her, she gets this overwhelming sense of maybe fear and wrongness. And she's being watched from the gravesite, from the burial.
That's creepy.
Yeah. I don't know who's watching her. Maybe it's who is watching her? So I guess the bad guy watching her would end up being a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's still the question too of who killed the grandfather.
Yeah.
So,
but I like the idea of there being someone else that we think is a bad guy and antagonist, but ends up being someone who's good.
I like that idea.
All right, so I need to find out the consequences of being buried. Who killed the grandfather, though I have an idea. I need to write some backstory on both grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to her parents?
Right, right, because why was Haley raised by her grandfather? Is this one of those things that skips a generation?
I thought of that, but I don't like that idea.
Okay.
I want something, her parents to have died.
Horribly. Fulton Hills is hard on people.
Horribly. Yes, it is. Yes. Okay, so parents murdered or dead. Parents died horribly. Maybe they were against... Maybe they were just stupid or against the things that, I mean, because just because she's smart and her grandfather was smart and her grandmother was this very powerful, I guess, witch or something, doesn't mean that the kid that they had wasn't, you know, just a mess, just absolute nightmare. Maybe he or she was stupid and married stupid and just
evil henchmen. This is true.
I don't know. I like the idea of the grandparent killing of their own kids because they were just really, really shitty.
God.
Really, really, like, you kids are, you know, maybe they, the grandfather is obviously part of something.
Okay.
That he's trying to hide. He's trying to hide the granddaughter from.
Right. You mentioned the cult. Does the cult in Fulton Hills ever do any human sacrificing?
Yes.
Might that?
Ah, yes, okay. So parents died horribly. Human sacrifice. That fits.
In order to give the granddaughter power, or?
No, but maybe it was to save the granddaughter or something. I don't know. Maybe the granddaughter didn't have anything to do with it.
Okay.
Because, again, this is just the cult. That's what they do. That's actually the part of the first story idea I ever had. I have it written out here somewhere, is that these people kept being sacrificed.
God.
Sorry. My head just is trying to pull back from that first book, and I'm trying... Because the ghost, after his wife died, his wife would come and talk to him, but in a not happy way. And because of the fire and everything, he went through this traumatic event, and then he starts seeing other ghosts. Well, Fulton Hills, it's not a safe place. There's lots of ghosts around. It's not a great place for a psychic.
Oh, so yeah. Right.
He's getting dickhead ghosts. He's getting funny ghosts. He's getting really super scary as shit ghosts. And it's just he thinks he's going crazy. And then one of the ghosts is like, you know, it kind of alludes to the fact that he was sacrificed, and the guy is like, but he's dressed in old-timey clothes or something, you know, so he's like, how old are you, blah blah blah. Well, ghosts don't have a concept of time. The right. Next day he finds out that the person was murdered just last night, even though and dressed in this cult sacrifice clothing.
Okay.
So now the dead ghosts are trying to talk to me. Like, no, go away. You're in a different story.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. When your stories just start to
yes. No. Yes. That whole alone in a room with invisible people thing again.
Yes. 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 And then the invisible people all want to be heard. They're like, wait. I was here first. I'm looking at this and... I like, okay, so she wants freedom more than anything else. She's not going to get it. Okay, so if the grandfather loved his wife, loved his life in Fulton Hills, loved his powers, why would he be trying to keep his granddaughter out of it?
Hmm.
He doesn't think he's bad.
Right. He thinks he's a good guy. And he would think that forcing people to do what they didn't want to do would be acceptable if he was doing it, quote unquote, for their own good.
For the greater good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so he is going to be a cult member and one of the leaders.
Okay.
Maybe he was afraid that because of her parents being human sacrifices, that taints people.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily mark them for human sacrifice. But if your parents were cult members and they were sacrificed, they obviously did some shit to deserve that. Because usually the cult will just go out and get some strangers and be like, all right, sacrifice.
Okay. That's fun.
Yeah.
Yike. So let's back away from the grandfather. Let's mm-hmm. look at Haley and Haley's deep desire to get out of Fulton Hills. And then the grandfather's desire to keep her in it. And how could his... You're looking at flipping something here where the ocean, okay, I'm trying to be the wall here and trying not to actually throw stuff at you, but yeah.
So what is the wall trying not to suggest?
Right. the wall is thinking that the grandfather's tie to the ocean is a pull of a different kind of power. That she is still fluid, and she is still she could change. Her path is not yet set. And that if she were to be able to leave and reach the ocean, then the power of the ocean might in some way allow her to break free from Fulton Hills. But that...
The only reason I don't really like that is because there is no breaking free from Fulton Hills.
Right. Okay.
That's just, and he would know that, and she would know. Well, she doesn't know that, but
right.
everybody learns.
Okay. All right.
I'm thinking it's just going to be, you know, him vacation or him maybe, like you said, in the Navy or something like that. I'll have to write them all out.
Mm-hmm.
But it was him, and it's just that's her symbol of freedom.
Okay.
That's her symbol of getting away from Fulton Hills. I mean, I've got a bunch here. I'm going to say the cult killed the grandfather. So the cult that he was a member of.
Okay.
The scratches, though. There has to be a ritualistic reason for that.
The speaking in scratches. Or no, the scratches on him.
Yeah, when he died. I want to get something a little bit more solid down before we stop.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're close.
Yeah. Okay, so what is the ritual for the cult? I mean, can the cult summon up things?
Not like demons or monsters or anything like that. There's
how about
because
poltergeists or
yeah spirits.
Okay,
but I want there to be a ritualistic reason for the scratches, and I need to dive more deeply into the magic, and that's part of the world building and stuff.
Okay.
So I know we don't want to get into that in this one. And I have notes and notes and notes and notes on the magic and the, and it's a very, very costly system to use. It is, Fulton Hills magic is not user friendly.
Okay.
So there's going to be a reason for the scratches. And I like the idea of a very mad human doing it.
Like mad angry or mad crazy?
Mad crazy.
Okay.
A mad dog kind of person in your cult that takes care of problems.
Okay.
But it, and again, this is because it spoke to me, it pulled to me for Fulton Hills, it changed everything. Originally, it was going to be a creature that killed him. But because it's pulling me back to Fulton Hills, there is just this draw to Fulton. And I never, ever would have thought when we first started doing this brainstorming session that it would give me a Fulton Hills story, because I'm trying to push that to the side until I get these romances done. But nope. It's like, okay.
Well,
so,
that's your world.
Yeah, it is.
That's your, that's like my settled space, man. That's,
I think really it is that. And there's this zombie apocalypse book that I've been trying to write since I was also 17 or 18. Before zombies blew up. So hopefully by the time I write it and everything, zombies will have died down.
Mm-hmm.
And I can put it out and people will be like, ah, a zombie epic novel.
Yes.
But yeah, Fulton Hills is just this passion world, like you with settled space.
Yeah.
All right, so basically it's a young woman who wants to leave but can't until she decides she can't until she solves the issue with her grandfather. She right. did not know he was murdered. And because he died before he thought he would, she's going to end up finding a whole bunch of stuff of his that opens up all of these things. And I want that reveal of her realizing that she sealed her fate by burying him with her grandmother.
To be in something that she finds when she is digging through his stuff, perhaps.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I also am changing the fact that he wanted her to leave. I'm just going to be taking it as because her parents were sacrificed by the cult for being shit. He must have made some sort of deal or pact that she would be protected.
Mm-hmm.
But that she would not be involved. Like that was what the cult wanted to sacrifice her along with them. He has pushed a whole bunch of magic onto her and all this and that so that she would be ignorant and she would be one of the other people that were ignorant and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the cult has accepted that as basically the same as her being dead. There has to be some kind of ritual that he would have finished before he died or after he died. So there's this ritual maybe for her age. Maybe once she reached a certain amount of time, she would be locked out of using her magic and stuff for good. I don't know.
Okay.
But because Fulton Hills always gets what Fulton Hills wants, despite everybody, including the cult, Fulton Hills wants her and wants her powers. So it all kind of works around.
So everybody is working to gain one goal, and Fulton Hills wins by subverting everything they do to get what it wants.
Yeah, and I don't think that it's going to be this heavy-handed Fulton Hills is an entity
mm-hmm.
thing, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's like just these little subtle things I want to have, like some old timer saying something, some NoHo person speaking to one of the other people and explaining like this is, you know, Fulton Hills. It's in a more of a reverent way, like.
Right.
Right. Fulton Hills is.
It's a kind of an entity.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I guess I've got the story. She needs to find out who killed her. So she'll eventually find out it was the cult.
Mm-hmm.
By finding out that it's a cult, she's going to find out that both her grandparents were in the cult. Mm-hmm. She's going to find out that the cult killed her family. And then she's going to want to take revenge on the cult, which is, I think, where the story is going to end, is her full circle into becoming this evil thing that is going to... Oh, my God. I just got chills. Because in Glass House, I had the cult starting to appear in Standing River. I wanted some entity to come up against Fault Hills, to where they were fighting and they were causing trouble that was showing up in Standing River, and they, you know, like, we can't have that. You know, it's bad enough that people are starting to pay attention in Fulton Hills. So then the brothers are the ones that end up seeing all of this havoc, like, what is going on here? I think that she's going to be the entity that has that revenge plot against the cult.
Perfect.
This is so amazing.
Oh, I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, she probably could have forgiven her parents being murdered by the cult, but yeah, not her grandfather.
Right.
And I just realized, like, I'm going to have to actually write this soon, because people who have been paying attention to the brainstorming stuff are going to want the end result.
Yes.
Because it's like consistency and, yeah.
Yes. So but it only has to be about 10,000 words.
Yeah. And it gives me my backstory.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like world building and backstory in a story.
Yes. Yes. And it just, and this is something you've been working on for several years. And the need for this particular character you've had for what?
2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And
going on 2 years, yeah.
And here's the character you need, filling a slot you needed. And it wasn't planned, it was brainstormed. Nope. Yeah. I love the way this works.
Yes. It's crazy. And I don't want everybody else to think, like, if you don't come up with something that fits this well, that it the process has failed, because it's definitely not, but it's amazing, especially since I can't seem to get Fulton Hills out of my head for very long. It just keeps coming back and like telling me I really, really want to write in this world soon. So
now you get to. Yeah. Now you get to write a short story in this world to feed that hunger while you're getting back, you know, while you're getting your romances written. And yeah.
And it's feeding the hunger, and it's also like giving me what I need to create those books in the future.
Right. Right. That's, oh man, I love the brainstorming process. I never, ever go through it that I don't get something good.
That has been our second brainstorming session. That is part two. And Holly is going to provide, I think you did say you were going to provide the rules.
Yeah, for how to be the wall and how to be the ball. Yeah, and we'll just put that, once I get it finished, we'll just put that on their download page.
Yeah.
At AIARWIP.com.
So I guess you guys, if anybody is looking forward to reading this story, maybe this one can be something that goes out to listeners that leave us a review as well, something like that. Remember, we do have the offer out that Holly is giving away a short story titled Squick Studies, and I am giving away a short story under 3,000 words. It is a ghost story from my anthology that I'm writing, and either of those are free for reviews that are left on iTunes. We ask, if you have any issues with the podcast, let us know first so that we can maybe fix it. Unfortunately, you know, something like the length of the podcast is not going to be fixed. We are filming some, you know, mini episodes every now and then, but the length of the episodes are what they are, because writing is so involved and there's so much that we can talk about with you guys. We try to give you a lot of value in these episodes. So leave us some good reviews on iTunes. Let us know that you've left them. If you love the show, definitely leave us a review. And then email us at show@alonewithinvisiblepeople.com and let us know. We will just have to verify that it was you who left the review. And then I will email you the two PDFs. You get both of them. We are on all of the socials at AIARWIP. That is on Instagram and Twitter. You can also use the search engine on both of those apps with Alone in a Room with Invisible People or Alone with Invisible People. I've been hashtagging using both, so hopefully it'll show up. And we are also on Facebook, Alone in a Room with Invisible People. You can listen to us on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, and I believe we're about to get on Spotify because we have enough episodes. And you can also visit us at alonewithinvisiblepeople.com. If you have any questions or any ideas or any suggestions or specifically any questions, just please post them on our actual site. If you are a member of Holly's Patreon, we really appreciate you supporting her and her fiction.
Yes, and thank you.
You can, yeah. She also gives the episodes a day or two early, several days in the case of a mini episode. So you can leave your questions and comments on those as well. But we definitely ask that you try not to comment on Holly's blog necessarily with questions or anything like that. Try to keep it to either the website, the forums, or Patreon.
Right. And the very best place to comment is at alonewithinvisiblepeople.com.
Or alonewithinvisiblepeople.com.
Right. Or AIARWIP.com. They all go to the same place. And that's our blog. And our blog is the easiest place for us to find your questions. Every place else, they could be missed. And we don't want to miss them because we have had some really fine questions that we are looking forward to answering in upcoming episodes.
Yes. So is there anything else that you'd like to say?
I think that wraps it up for me. I will make sure that you have the download for How to Be the Wall and How to Be the Ball, because being able to brainstorm with somebody else, as you can see, gives the person who is doing the brainstorming some traction on getting a story to come together. And it's not hard to do. You don't have to be a writer to help somebody brainstorm. You don't have to. But it really does help to have somebody to bounce ideas off of.
Yes, absolutely. It makes such a huge difference. And if you're doing anything and you want to tag us, you can try on Instagram or Twitter. You can use the hashtag AIARWIP or just tag us in your post if you're going to be doing some crazy brainstorming and you want to let us know.
Yes, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Yes. And thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you so much for listening. We just totally adore every single, you know, listener that takes the time and enjoys our podcast.
Yes, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see you on the next episode.
We'll see you soon.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
You want to write, you love words, you love fiction, but you don't know where to start or how to middle or where to finish. I do. I'm Holly Lyle, and I've been doing this professionally since 1991. And I know how I did what I did to go pro, and I'll be happy to show you what I've learned. Start with my free 3-week flash fiction class at hollyswritingclasses.com.